Good evening. Appreciate an opportunity to be here in Guthrie once again. Desire a real sincere interest in your prayers. I'm willing to be a big flop for the Lord if that's what he has in mind, but I've been thinking about this word this past week and thinking about coming to Guthrie and wondering what the Lord would have for us to bring and if he had anything for us to bring. This word leverage is one that implies a lot of power to me, and I'd like to read a definition maybe that I find. Means a mechanical advantage gained by using a lever. Leverage can also mean borrowing money to maybe purchase something, a company or something, and relying on that to make enough profit to cover the interest that's payable on the loan. Leverage also means power over other people, especially something that gives an advantage but not referred to openly. These are not my definitions. These are ones I got out of a dictionary. I can remember feeling as a young person, and probably many of you have experienced this at some point or another in your life, feeling that other people can't force me. I want you to know that I have lived long enough to realize that there's a lot of leverage out there that I never accounted for when I had those kind of feelings. I'm not strong enough in myself to resist the leverage that can be put on me. We've all heard the expression, maybe don't force it, just get a bigger hammer or a bigger pry bar. In my line of work, a bigger pry bar can be a tremendous asset, but it can also create a lot of havoc too. Sometimes a lot of leverage can cause things to be damaged that you weren't intending to damage. And all of us have faced or will face situations in our life that we feel leverage that's being applied to us. I'm sure all of us have sat down at the table, and maybe if you went through a buffet, one of those places that have everything that you can imagine, and you come and sit down and somebody at your table looked over at you and say, "You're going to eat that?" And immediately you start to feel a little pressure, like someone is suggesting and leveraging you that wouldn't be a good thing to eat right then. And then we've all experienced that situation where someone tells us everyone else is doing it. That's leverage. So we immediately begin to feel like we're under pressure to perform or react in a certain way because we've just been told that everybody else is doing what we have been presented with. Leverage is not always a negative force. Think about sometimes the places we go into that has a sign on the door that says, "No shirt, no shoes, no service." There's some leverage involved there. If you're going to come in here unacceptably dressed, then our sign says that we won't do business with you. There's leverage there. It's a leverage to send the message that we must be in an appropriate form of clothing before we come into this place. And then I'm sure we've all heard the expression, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. There's a lot of pressure there, and there's leverage involved. I'm thinking this evening of the leverage that we get exposed to. And an old memory came back to my mind when I was a small boy, Brother Louis Marler's place. My dad was trying to help them change a tire on an old grain truck. And I remember them having a wrench of some sort. I was so small, I don't know what all was going on, but a wrench of some sort on the nut that held the wheel on, and seeing my dad with a long piece of pipe on this thing and swinging on it with all of his might and hearing things pop and snap. And I can't remember how it all ended up. Just thinking about all of the force that was being exerted there. Sometimes we find leverage being applied that is not of our own doing. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 14th chapter, read the 5th verse. Jesus speaking here, and he answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an oxen fallen into a pit that will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Jesus was speaking to some people that were criticizing him of doing his work, and they were criticizing him of ministering something that was a great blessing to someone on their Sabbath day. They classified what he was doing as work, but it was not pulling an ox out of a ditch. And sometimes things happen in our lives. Our ox falls in the ditch. Wasn't something we were anticipating, wasn't something we could foresee, but it happened. And I believe Jesus here was giving us an allowance for the leverage that's put on us to take care of things like that. But I believe the enemy knows about that. And you know, the enemy likes to use all the leverage that he can. And I don't know where we're going to find ourselves this evening, but I want us to recognize that the enemy of our soul is trying to maneuver and leverage us out of a walk with him. And the devil would like for us to begin to look at our oxes in the ditch and our responsibilities, and he would like to leverage us out of worshiping the Lord. This particular verse is addressing the Sabbath day, which was the Old Testament day of worship and being set aside. And we are to worship the Lord continually, every day, with the way we conduct ourselves. And it says here that he's asked a very simple question. Which of you, if you have one of your livestock that has fell into a pit or some place where it needs assistance, which of you are not going to go and help them out of that situation on a day that's set aside for worship? But the enemy knows how to somehow cause things, it seems like, to happen. And one thing leads to another to where it hinders us from being able to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm grateful for each one of you that has made the effort to be here tonight. But you know, if the devil could have, he would have leveraged you out of being here. He will leverage you out of being in your home congregations. He will cause things to develop, or seems like things just develop. And if you feel like you're under that, you have all of this pressure on you. It's more than just this choice of whether I go or not. It's beyond that. It seems like there's forces that's out of our control. And I would like for us to recognize that the enemy will work through that any chance he gets. He will cause us to be so well liked that we'll get extra responsibilities to where it seems like we just can't make it there on time. Or we just can't make it there at all. He will cause us to be in a place where we feel like if I don't go ahead and accept this responsibility, then I'm going to be in a unfavorable situation with my employer or in my business adventure or whatever it is, to where we get ourselves and allow ourselves to be leveraged right out of our experience with the Lord, right out of the spiritual nourishment and the food and the strength that I need to survive in a world that already has a lot of leverage aimed at us and trying to maneuver us away from the Lord. I believe that the Lord would like for us to recognize the techniques that the devil has to try to leverage us. I'd like to go to 2 Kings, the second chapter, and notice a specific situation here that there was some leverage being put on a very sincere man of God. 2 Kings, the second chapter. I'll read the 16th and the 17th verse. The setting here is where Elisha has been with Elijah at the very end of his life, and Elijah was caught up in a chariot and horses of fire in a whirlwind, and his mantle was left behind. In the 16th and 17th verses, we find where Elijah, after he had departed, and Elisha came back to the 50 or so prophets that was on the other side of the Jordan. When he met up with them and gave his account of what had happened to Elijah, they said unto him, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley, and he said, ye shall not sin." So the proposition was made, we would like to go and look for Elijah, for the body of Elijah. I don't know what all the conversation entailed, but I can only surmise that it included things of intended respect and intentions of being paying honor to the prophet that has gone on. And I don't know, I believe there was more than just this little bitty phrase that we have. And Elisha's response was, "Don't go. I seen him with my own eyes caught up into heaven in a chariot of fire with chariots of horses, and it was kind of a whirlwind, but I seen him go." And then the next verse says, "And when they urged him till he was ashamed." Leverage. What did they say? They urged him until he was ashamed. They said, "Didn't you love Elijah?" I don't know what they said exactly. But they said something that made him feel that he was being disrespectful to Elijah to not let them go and search. I don't know how complicated this. All I know is that they urged him until Elisha began to feel self-conscious. He began to feel that, maybe it would be good for you. Maybe just in case the body fell out of the chair. I don't know. See, he began to have some doubts, and he was urged until he was ashamed. He was ashamed of telling them, no, don't go. And this leverage, this force was being put on him to the point that he finally changed his mind. This was not an unsettled person. You remember how many times that as he was following Elijah, that Elijah said, this is far enough. And he said, oh no, I'm going with you. I'm going to stay right here by your side. He was not a undisciplined person. He was not an undevoted person. He was not someone that was recklessly and aimlessly going through life. But he was in this situation, and other people that were sincere began to put leverage on him. These were not people from idolatry. All right? They began to put pressure on him until he caved to this pressure, and he said, okay, you can go. They made him feel ashamed, and he said, send. And they sent, therefore, 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. That's what they told them that they were going to find in the beginning. But I'm just reading this account so that we understand that solid people have faced the power of leverage and have moved their position because of the leverage. And it wasn't that they got a different result, but I wonder how Elisha felt after that. You reckon he felt taken advantage of? Have you ever had someone kind of leverage you out of line, and maybe it was a lunch line or something like that, and you felt like they kind of got ahead of you or something got left you behind? There's all kinds of feelings that go. I wonder if Elisha had to struggle with saying, I told you he wasn't over there. I wonder if he felt like he had disappointed God and Elijah by allowing himself to be leveraged. I'm pointing this out so we understand that leverage is very real. All right? We're going to find ourselves in places where people and circumstances try to leverage us. I'd like to go to Judges, the 16th chapter, and notice a man here that God intended to use mightily, and he allowed himself to get in a place to be leveraged. In Judges, the 16th chapter, verse 15, it says, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? This is Samson, and he's put himself in a very undesirable and unwise place. He's put himself in a treacherous position. But after he's there, he's got some leverage being put on us. And it says, and it came to pass, well, I'll read that verse started out with. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Have you ever felt that kind of pressure? Have you ever felt that kind of leverage? And she said to him, how can you say that you love me? And you won't tell me what I want to know. You won't disclose to me the thing. This is a age-old leverage to get the thing that she wanted. I don't believe this is just a gender-specific thing either. Men can do this too. If you love me, you would do this or you would do that. But Samson was in a place that he was under a lot of force. I'm thinking about some of the things that I have put a pry bar on, and maybe some of my boys have put pry bars on, and then put all of your strength behind it. And then the surprise feel when that gives away and you go stumbling, or the piece that you're prying on is broken. Well, what happened here is Samson became broken under the pressure. There was a lot of leverage that was put on. And Samson was not someone that God didn't have a plan for. God had a plan for Samson. God intended him from birth to be someone that would be used to be an asset to the Israelite people. God has a plan for each one of us today. It behooves us to not get in a treacherous situation to where the devil can put added leverage on us. Not only would the devil like to just leverage us out of a place of good, high integrity with the Lord, but he would like to trick us into a sketchy place, a place that's not even hardly marginal, and then he will put extra pressure on us to push us right over the edge. I'd like for us to think of our own selves and the places we have allowed ourselves to get in, places of malnourished spirituality, maybe because of the leverage from circumstances and our oxes getting in the ditch or whatever it is, and maybe we get in a place where our walk with the Lord has degenerated to some extent, and then here comes the big pry bar. Here comes the real leverage. You're in a place where you're not as prayed up as you ought to be. You're not as fervent in spirit as you should be. Samson wasn't, see. He shouldn't have been down there meddling around with a Philistine woman to start with. But he was in this place, and then the enemy come along with more leverage. Why was he trying to win her affections in the beginning? So he was in a bad place. Lord, help me. The Lord has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. May the Lord help me to not get in a place where he can put extra leverage on me. Then I've got to think of the 7th chapter of Proverbs and the leverage that's in this. I'd like for you to bear with me, and I'd like to read this account beginning in the 6th verse. It says, "For at the window of my house I looked out through my casement." Many of us can look out from where we are and make observations. We can look out of the window and see things that are going on around us. And this writer says, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. I looked out the window and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. There's some leverage going on here. You might say, well, that's an old story in an old book. But it's going on all around us today. This is a current event. It's not just an historical account, but it's a current event. It's something that's happening all around continually. This kind of leverage is happening to our youth. It's happening to our middle age, and it's happening to our older ones. It happens to men. It happens to women. It happens because the flesh hasn't been crucified. In Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 24th verse, let's go and read that real quick. In Galatians chapter 5. In verse 24, he says here, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. May the Lord help us to have those things crucified in our lives, because if they're not, it doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter our age. I'm going to tell you, this current event that was accounted back here is going to impact. There's going to be leverage put on us, and there's going to be fair speech and flattering lips. And we are going to feel forced leverage. You know, smooth talking and flattery is still a very powerful leveraging force in our world today. Not only has it caused people to be leveraged into places of sinful activity like this account gives us, but it has caused people to be leveraged into places that they wish they'd have never went. Leverage is something that's very powerful. This is the message I'm trying to get a hold of us, for me and for you tonight. Leverage is such a powerful thing. I think of the three Hebrew children. You know, they had a lot of leverage applied to them. If you don't bow down to this idol, we're going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace. And I don't know all of the other details, but I got to believe there was other details to that story too. And I think of Daniel that was there facing the, I'm sure he got the message just like the others did, that he would be thrown into the den of lions. Daniel was under a lot of leverage. But I'm so grateful that we have the accounts of those men along in the Bible, along with the accounts of those that were moved by leverage. Whether it's the young man here in Proverbs, whether it's those, whether it was Samson, or whether it was even Elisha that got moved by leverage. I'm thankful that we have those accounts. The scripture doesn't just give us some kind of glowing account of no failures. There's human failure accounts in the scripture. And I want us to recognize that this leverage will have its effect in whatever form it comes on our lives if we're not careful. I want to disable the leverage of the enemy. I want to be able to make it ineffective if I can at all in my life. I'd like to go back to 2 Kings, and I want to notice leverage in a positive sense. I'd like to go back to where we were in the 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, and notice the account of Elisha coming back to the river. In the 13th verse, I believe it is, maybe we'll start up above there a little bit. Start at the 9th verse. And it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heaven. And Elisha said, saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I see some leverage in this too. You know, I've seen things destroyed by leverage. I've seen temporal things, mechanical things, maybe structures that's been destroyed by physical leverage. Maybe whole sections of a wall that was damaged, or maybe a piece of machinery with things that was broken or distorted because of leverage. I've seen lives that have been damaged by leverage. Leverage of some type of unreasonableness in one form or another. And you look on and you think, how do you make that fit again? How do you make that work again? How do you put this back together? Just recently I was working on something and I took a bolt out and realized that the two pieces moved as soon as I took that out. So I was able to get my pry bar and put it in there in a place and put some leverage on it, so I was able to put it back together. But many times we look and we think, where would we put the leverage? How do we put leverage on something to make things that should happen again? How do we put leverage on hearts and emotions? How do we put leverage on brokenness to where that things that are broken can vibrate again? I don't think that's talking about just a crude vibe. I think that's talking about some harmonious sounds. I believe there's power in leverage to bring about healing, just like there is leverage bringing so much destruction. I've told this before, and I trust my boys will allow me to say this again, but I have a lot of broken tools at the house. Shovels just don't hold up very good. And picks and things of that nature.
I call it an adze, but it's got the flat blade on one side and the sharp, it looks kind of like a pickaxe, but anyway, a really good one.
hadn't had it very long at all. And one of the boys came to me just this past week and said, "Dad, I don't know what happened. It just, the handle just broke." Well, there's too much leverage going on, is what happened. There's too much leverage happened, and the handle just didn't hold up. So I look around, and sometimes I would say there's probably three or four or five picks and at least six or eight shovels with the handles broke, and maybe a sledgehammer or two. And I could have a lot of tools if I had handles in all of them. But the leverage that has caused all that break, that's fixable, you see. But there's leverage that has causes damage in other areas of our life, and we look on and say, "Lord, how does we put that back together? How does things like affection and compassion and consideration, I don't know, these are broken." See, the enemy wants to put us in a place where he can put leverage on us and cause breakage, cause things to be broken in our life. And I don't know if we find ourselves here tonight, if we find ourselves in a place where we're under the pressure of the leverage, or maybe we look on and we recognize tonight that leverage has forced us. We have been, maybe we were sincere. Maybe we recognize the Lord had a plan for us in life, just like Samson did. He knew what the Lord wanted out of him. He knew why it was, that's why he maintained his strength as long as he did. Elisha was a man of God. But he allowed himself to be under the pressure until he was ashamed of the place that he was holding, see? He allowed himself to be leveraged out of the place that he should have had. And maybe we're in that place and we look on and we see something that's failed in our life and we don't have the thing that we used to have. And it's like, it's gone. There's no way to get it back. There's no way for it to come back. But I want to notice what happened here. When Elijah left that mantle, Elisha picked it up. Elisha picked up that mantle, and when he went back to the Jordan River, and he seen that the river would come back together, and there was no place to cross. It says here, "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said," where is the God of Elijah? "And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." You know, dear ones, we're not the first generation that's had brokenness happen in our lives. We're not the first generation that's had the leverage of the evil forces to come against us. We're not the first person that has looked on some wreckage and said, "There's no use. There's no hope." We're not the first person. There's generations of people that have went on before us that have faced that, and they've picked up the mantle of those that have went on before. The ones that God took home in a chariot of fire. Dear ones, I believe there's some mantles that may be laying on the ground. The Lord would like for us to pick those up on an individual basis. The Lord would like for you to pick up the mantle and be able to come back to that river that looks uncrossable. The place where there's no bridge. There's no low place. There's no place where you can wade through on some stepping stones. And when you come back to that place and recognize It wasn't a decision I made just voluntarily so much. I was leveraged in to making a destructive decision. I was leveraged into giving up hope. I was leveraged into throwing things overboard. And recognize that I have a mantle in my hand. And me not have any experience yourself of being able to cross rivers without bridges. Elisha didn't in his own authority. But he came back there and he smote the water with the mantle of Elijah and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" I want to challenge us here tonight to be able to pick up the mantle and use the leverage of that. When you come to those things that look uncrossable, that look impossible, that look like there is no way, there is no hope. It looks like all gloom and all doom, and there's no way for me to rise above this. But to come to that thing and smite it with the mantle of the past generation and say, "Where is the God of those that's been victorious in the past?" And I believe the Lord will make a path, and He will open it from hither to thither where we can walk across. I believe that Joshua applied some leverage over in Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua was a man that the Lord used to lead His people down towards the end of his course. This favorite, one of my favorite verses, Joshua 24 and 15. Maybe in the 14th verse, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And he's presented a choice for the people here. He just laid it out. What are you going to do? Here's the opportunity. You can choose this path or this path. And then here comes the leverage. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's some leverage involved in that. As long as you live here, this is the way you're going to do it. You know, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Dear ones, may we get a hold of using leverage in the right way. You know, just because you can put enough force or get a big enough leverage that you can break something doesn't mean that you ought to do that. If we can use the leverage for good, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Where is the God of our grandparents' generation? Where is the God that led them to truth, that led them to the paths of separating themselves from the world and ungodliness? Where is that God? I believe that He will give us the leverage, the power, and the authority over the things that seem to be overwhelming us in life, over the things that it's broke. How did it break? Well, there was some leverage being put on my life. There was some things, force being applied to my experience that was out of my control. Maybe it was some force from an outside source. Maybe it was just circumstances, and maybe it was my own choice. Maybe I decided to not get up when I should have, or to take advantage of the opportunities I had. Dear ones, I desire your prayers that I'll recognize the leverage of the enemy for what it is. That I'll be able to pick up the mantle better than I have in the past. I believe there's victory. I believe there's power. I believe there's the ability to cross those rivers that look uncrossable, that look like we can't get to the other side. It looks like the what's on the other side is unattainable for us. But I believe we can get there. Amen. With the leverage of the God of our fathers. You pray for me.